That's why we're here, bro. This is real tech talk. Boom shakalaka. So who the hell are you, bro? You know, what are you into? What do you do? Yo, you can keep it real here. Tell me. Tell me about these real estate players.
Eric Brody is the managing principal of CEMVC LLC. All opinions expressed by Eric and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of CEMVC LLC. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of CEMVC LLC may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
Welcome back, folks. Real Tech Talk episode 43. I never thought we would actually get to 43 episodes, but here we are, and I am surprised and happy to have you today, folks. We have someone who is definitely needs to be heard. What this woman is doing is absolutely incredible, attacking the multifamily space. And by the way, these are the humans that you have to compete with entrepreneurially, because I have got to tell a little bit about her background. But first, Sharon, thank you for coming to Real Tech Talk.
Thank you for having me, Eric. It's nice to be here.
So, you know, we talk all the time briefly about like the backgrounds of some of the humans that come on this show. And It's like super exciting because I'm like, damn, I didn't go to school like that. So I think it's really important. I'm going to read this, folks. And I never read anything because otherwise I would screw this up and I'm not memorizing it about your background. Are you ready?
I'm a little bit embarrassed.
First, we're not even going to get into grad school. We're not even going to get into college or high school. We're going to start straight. PhD for architecture and town planning at Technion. All right. Technion is like the MIT of Israel, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there, folks. If you have a PhD and you think you're smart, it goes beyond. She is now an adjunct professor at Columbia Graduate School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation, and a postdoctoral associate at Cornell Tech developing visualizations and simulations to achieve social impact in planning. Did I say that right?
Better than I could have said it.
I don't even know what that means. And all that it says to me is like, wow, that is a lot of schooling. There's a lot of intelligence. And now you're making the application to the entrepreneurial spirit. So I'm super excited to have you here. Thanks again.
I guess I'm just a good student. I really like to learn. And it's an opportunity to not be in the real world, right? You can still live in your bubble for a while.
Now you are entering the real world and you have started a company called Urban Mix.
Yes.
What is Urban Mix?
Urban Mix is a digital twin software for real estate owners to manage their properties more efficiently.
So let's talk about that for a second, because I don't think our audience will completely understand. What do you mean? So it's a digital twin. What is a digital twin? And I know that goes into Meta and that goes into like sort of like the metaverse and everything that all of like Google and Facebook and Zuckerberg are all dealing with. What is the digital twin?
Cool. Yeah, it's good that you asked that. And yeah, digital twin became some kind of a buzzword or a very popular word, but not really a lot of people understand what it means. And it actually started from the auto the car industry, where they used a replica of the car, of the actual object in the real world and create a replica for it in the computer. That way they can run all the processes, simulate things, they can crash the car into the wall and nobody will get hurt, but they can understand from those simulations what to improve. So that's the main concept, right? You can simulate and predict and plan with the model, the digital twin, and then you can implement it on the real world.
So let me ask you about a digital twin though, right? So it's not just designing a digital twin, it's also giving the characteristics in physics and in science to it so that the application of these forces actually means something?
Exactly. And it's like, it started with the car industry and it's becoming very popular in other arena, like healthcare. It could be used to simulate body parts or diseases, the way they move in the body, or in the electrical industry. And it's becoming also more popular in urban planning. And that's what you were talking about, the metaverse and the smart cities. And what we like, our slogan in Urban Mix is that we bring smart city tools into the real estate world. And that's actually our mission, because as a researcher at Cornell Tech, in my postdoc, I created a digital twin at a city scale. This is based on other works like CityScale Digital Twin in Singapore is the most known one.
Wait, what did Singapore do?
They have a CityScale Digital Twin with a control room, and they can control all the processes in the city through this control room. Sidewalk Lab tried to develop something for Toronto. It fell in the middle, but it was a very big thing at the time.
Who was doing these initiatives? I'm just curious. Who wanted Singapore? Was it the government that said,
yeah,
we are going to grant these funds because we want to know how our city operates?
Exactly, yeah. It starts from governments, but it also sometimes is like private initiative like Sidewalk Labs, but it's always in a collaboration with the city.
All right, so let's back up, because now, and we'll get into back to what Urban Mix is doing. Where did this fascination with technology and real estate come from? Tell us a little bit about how you got here.
Okay, so it's actually about cities. My fascination is about cities. I come from a very small place, and I studied architecture to know how to build my own, a new building.
Mm. And so then, it started with architecture in school, in college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I want to do more, and I want to grow up to the scale of the city. And this is why New York is also such a great place to be in. So my fascination is with cities. That's what you had all those crazy words about simulation and visualization of social impact. I am really interested in affecting cities. And that's why I deal with digital
So twin. What's affecting cities though? Like in which aspect? Is it overpopulation, underhousing? Is it, you know, natural disasters? Like what about cities was the most fascinating for you?
Right. So social impact and social processes are something that doesn't have a shape. And that's why it's amazing to know that with all those digital twins that I was talking about, the smart things, or the whole concept of a smart city, is about simulating infrastructure. And they can simulate the roads, and they can simulate the sewage, and they can simulate cars and drones and all kind of robots walking in the city. But amazingly, or even outrageously, if you want to say, housing is not considered an infrastructure of the city.
Okay.
And that what was shocking to me when I was starting to engage with this field, right? Because talking about social impact, I was trying to simulate gentrification and displacement, and I was...
I understand. So your field of study was... It's interesting, people are starting to digitize cities, figuring out infrastructure issues, movement of humans, how they're gonna operate in their city, and had nothing to do with the social impact, which is housing.
Like the most basic human needs, and this is why we have cities.
And that
to
was
begin
your
with.
Field of study.
Yeah.
Fascinating, like, understood.
Sorry, it was a long way to say housing, but yeah, I'm really...
No, but there's other social impacts, maybe sanitation, whatever. I'm just saying, for you, you saw and identified that like technology was running on creating digital twins of cities, but none of them were figuring out any type of social impact, that being the humans within those cities.
Exactly, and housing, and affordable housing, and it's amazing because we all know that there is a housing crisis, affordability crisis. Our city, cities are unlivable because people, normal people, middle class people can't live in city, can afford to live here. 70% of all Americans rent their homes. So despite the fact that housing is such a huge issue, smart cities don't even get close.
So then, fine. So now I completely understand where you're coming from, the real estate space and coming to the urban space. Mm-hmm. What about the tech space? Where did that come into your life?
Well, during my postdoc here, I started experimenting that. I came to Cornell Tech as an architect, as an urban planner who was doing ethnographic fieldwork and writing and drawing, but I had nothing to do with tech. But I got this amazing opportunity, and I was accepted to Cornell Tech to do my postdoc, and this is where I started playing with technology, and we built this digital twin.
What is Cornell Tech? I mean, I know I see it in Roosevelt Island, and it's a gorgeous building. What is it?
Cornell Tech is a collaboration between Cornell University and the Technion in Israel to build a tech campus in the city. It's part of the Bloomberg administration initiative to diversify. and decentralize the city.
So it's New York's infrastructure play to make sure we draw a ton of tech talent to New York.
Exactly.
And you were basically the thesis. We want you to come. So they accepted you to this program.
Right.
What are they offering? Like, what was the thing that got you into tech? Are they just the most cutting edge on what is like the latest technology? And then you just make the application to your thesis?
So the issue was taking things that I've developed in my PhD about understanding social movements in city and using technology to scale up, right? As a person, I can study one city, one field, one area, but using technology, we can multiply and expand and run simulation to the future and predict. And that's what I wanted to do.
I get it. I get it. Now I completely understand. Because if you can digitize, you can now start to experiment with different variability and its impact on urban planning and urban centers.
Exactly.
Okay, great. So now, where did Urban Mix come from? Now, I get it. You know, you've got technology at your fingertips. You've been studying the impacts of social issues on cities. Now you can upload that data, and I'd love to understand those inputs, and that created Urban Mix. So what is Urban Mix? How did you now try to commercialize what you were learning?
Okay, so let's stay a little bit in the history, because that's also why we started Urban Mix. During my postdoc, I was doing a collaborative research with my co-founder, then a PhD student at the Technion too. I was working on a digital twin here for Roosevelt Island, and she was working on a digital twin for Bat Yam.
For where?
Bat Yam in Israel is a city next to Tel Aviv, a mid-sized city. And there used to be a very cool TV show called Bat Yam, New York. So that was the name of our research too. And we were trying to simulate the same things on different, completely different urban arenas.
What are the inputs, so our audience can understand? What are the inputs to creating a digital twin of a city?
Like, so first of all,
what are your APIs?
Yes, it's the physical structures, right? The building, the streets, the trees, whatever you can see.
What about subgrade?
And then, It goes as deep as you can, and it depends on what you want to simulate. So if you want to know what's happening in the sewage, you will put the sewage into the system. But we were interested in housing, as I said. So we had all the housing data
from where?
From the city of Bat Yam, in that case, because I maybe failed to mention, but Daphna, my co-founder, was the strategic the head of the strategic planning department city in Bat Yam before she...
But what is that input? Is it AutoCAD drawings create the buildings? How do you, or is it you fly a drone and it's picking up the exterior dimensions of a building, and then that, like, what is the stuff that converts it?
So it's really based a lot on GIS, geographic information systems, that knows how to take tabular data and put it on a map.
Cool.
And then you can, let's say, have statistics areas or information per building, and you connect the things that is happening in the table to the real world. And we have, yes, AutoCAD drawings, but also maps, and we can, from the map, create a 3D model, and from the data, we can connect each cell in the table into a building. And that way we can start understanding. And if we're talking about housing, we wanted to know about ownership structures, the socio-demographic state of the people who are living there, and to be able to see.
So then you got a census data overlay.
Exactly.
And then, okay, so now you have these inputs, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no reaction to it. There's no algorithm. There's no study. How do you now come up with that hypothesis and then actually implement that? Is it a program? Is it an algorithm?
Like, yes.
And how do you even know if it's right or not?
So we used an ABM, an agent-based model system, that gives attributes to buildings and has like a decision-making mechanism where can you say like an if-then kind of thing. Like,
so a rules-based engine.
Yeah. So if this person earn less than 30K a year and he rents this apartment at this rate, you will have to live after this and this amount of year. Something like this. This is a very simple rule. You can, of course, make the rules much more complicated.
Well, I'm simple, so that was a good one. I appreciate that. Keep it simple, stupid for Eric Brody, okay? Like, you get into something complex, I'll be asleep.
Actually, because we were doing that, I think it's one of the first time that something like that is done, because it's very, like, soft data. It's not, it's a thermal, it doesn't have, so see, the rules were simple, and it was quite simplistic in a way, but it was a start. Mm. And this is what got us into Urban Mix, actually, because we understood the connection between data to a building and how can a building be better managed through this data. And in Urban Mix, we do the same, but not in a city scale, in a building scale. And then...
Right. So you're saying you were studying this. You were surrounded mm-hmm. by this urbanization, digital twin of major cities. And you're like, what about digital twins of an actual building? Meaning making the same application of an algorithm, if-then statement, to an existing building and what we can learn.
Yeah. And more than that, actually, because before going into a building... Our aim was to create a city-scale network of housing, mm-hmm. right? Like build the infrastructure of the city. That was the actually the research proposal that I got accepted to Cornell Tech with. But when you start to commercialize and become a startup, you understand that there's no viable business model there.
100%. Right? I was going to ask you that. Yes.
We can't do that. We can't work with cities as customers.
Right.
We don't have the budget to build a city scale. And as important and as necessary it is, we can't start with that. So this is like our big vision. But from my Daphna co-founder, who is really experienced with working with cities.
Okay.
And from my research about cities, we realized that the people that are actually doing the work, the mechanism that moves everything is real estate, mm-hmm. right? So city gives the rules, give the framework, but the people who are running the city, the people who are building housing, the people who are maintaining housing are the real estate developers. And the low-hanging fruit to solve the affordability crisis is, first of all, renovate the existing buildings.
So more supply. Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer, you know? But we have all types of legislation that sort of, and that's a different conversation. Mm-hmm. But so now... You're like, okay, so it's now coming into focus how to commercialize sort of what you are working with. Mm-hmm. So what is Urban Mix now solving for, and why is that economically viable?
Right. So we are helping real estate owners renovate their existing buildings with the goal of decreasing vacancies. Mm-hmm. Or increasing occupancy. We know that cities are extremely expensive. Every day a unit is not occupied costs them tons of money. And on the
so to create efficiencies in that workflow.
Yeah.
Right? You're basically stating your apartments will be turned over faster than anything you've done before. Nothing to do with tech. I know me and you weren't going to talk about why that is, but the reality is you management company or you owner have to understand and turn over buildings, your units faster and more efficiently, which will lead to less vacancy, more revenue for you.
But
welcome to Urban Mix.
Exactly.
Okay.
And at the same time, it's benefiting the city, the urban fabric and the environment, because we are improving the urban infrastructure while we're doing that. So we're giving tools to real estate owners to earn more money, but also to improve the city at the same time.
What's the improve the city thesis? Because there would be more supply and that would drive down cost?
More supply, less old buildings. The units that people live in will be more livable because they will be up to standard. It's also talking about Local Law 97 and improving, like decarbonizing the city. So every real estate owner who choose to upgrade its building is getting support from us, making it easier and faster, and also doing it what's necessary
right.
for
and,
the world, actually.
And so Urban Mix is doing that basically mm-hmm. by what the overall thesis was. And just allow me to say it simply, and then you tell me like how wrong or right I am, is that if you can create a digital twin of your building, right, mm-hmm. with these variables, the user experience sort of that owner is so much greater in that they can visualize and then use a workflow in order to understand sort of every facet of their building. And it's not in some table or some email alert. It's literally an axonometric drawing that's alive to you.
Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful. I really love the way you say it simple, because I had this long story about cities and this is how it should be. And I actually have this prop.
Yeah, I love it. It's our first prop, everyone. Yeah. First prop, everyone. First prop.
So you can think about it like this Rubik's Cube, right? Okay. This is your building.
Right.
And every square here is a unit of a residential unit. And every unit includes all the data that is related to this unit, like besides the, who lives there, when was it last inspected, how is the condition of things, is it occupied or vacant. And by pressing on this unit, you can get all the information that you need on this unit, and you can literally go inside the unit and see what's wrong with it. Not see in the sense of having cameras. We don't want to peek into people's
houses. Whoa, slow down now. Now we're talking about, I forget that movie where it had cameras everywhere. Not that, got
not
it.
That.
Sliver? No, whatever, okay.
Yeah. So we know the fastest algorithm to solve it quickly, to make it like a game. In our system, we have three like traffic light system of inspect, make ready, and list. If we're talking about the...
Well, that's a workflow. You know what I'm fascinated by, though? What's the input, right? Because that seems to be the biggest sticking point in commercialization of sort of these tools is the input almost automated? Meaning the information within that unit, it's not like the owner has to sit there and upload the data. You've already done it for them?
So yeah, that's the exciting phase that we are right now. We are in the phase of building the product. We are scheduled to launch in February, which is tomorrow. So not tomorrow, but January.
Yeah, sure.
But
by the time this comes out, you'll be launched.
Yeah. It's fascinating because we are working exactly on that. So the data we get from the owners is their building floor plans, their unit roles. It's a normal Excel sheet that
of
every
course.
Company
and
has.
Every multifamily has that. You didn't make them do something unique.
Right. So these are the two things that we need. From that, we create the 3D model and we connect the data in the table to the building, the same way that we talked about in digital twins for cities. So we have a building, we have the initial data, and then we start our workflows to move units from one stage to another. And let's say in February you had 4 vacant units. Usually it would take you like 5 months or 3 months to find a new tenant, to make it ready and find a new owner. With our tool, you'll be able to do it much faster, and the whole process will be recorded. And the unit that was vacant will move into the lease feature. And the cool thing about it is that it progresses over time.
Can I tell you what I think is cool? Because, you know, I'm like from a real estate perspective. What you just said, you can have those inputs and you can know I have these 7 vacancies and, you know, we're really good at planning and workflows and contractors and you're amazing. And yet I would say to that person, yes, that is true, right? You may be that, right? And the manpower required to you to stay on top of that is a cost for sure. But what about the visualization? And we all know it's the user experience, right? Because ChatGPT proved that AI software, as long as you made it feel like human to human, all of a sudden got really, really popular. It wasn't as if the tech was new. What I see when I experimented was you're going onto a screen that is communicating with you in a way that's much more like a user experience that works for you. It's an axonometric drawing that you're typing in and it's almost like you can see it and feel it. Oh shit, tomorrow we need these 4 units or in a week we need these. The color's changing, right? Because if you can make it easier for someone to like encompass it, they don't feel like overwhelmed by it and you can plan, right? So to me, the uniqueness is finally the way in which you're presenting data that may exist, but in a way in which a human can understand.
I'm so happy that you said that because I've been asked so many times, why do you need a 3D model in your app, right? There are so many other workflow softwares and we can do the whole workflow without the 3D model. And we kept insisting on the 3D model because it's not just visualization. It's about gamification of this whole industry.
Agreed. Agreed.
Like how many white males love to play Clash of Clans? Are you familiar with this game?
No.
Clash of Clans? Do you know Clash of Clans? Yeah. Or Fortnite.
The fourth wall. It's popular from the fourth wall.
Fortnite or, God forbid, GTA, whatever. Those games have amazing visualizations in real time. Amazing computer power to simulate processes in real time. Like people run in the street and things change. And we don't harness this technology for real things. So we want to make the whole process very easy, very fun, very game-like. When you send someone to the site, he has this model, he updates, he sends it back to you, and everything becomes so much easier.
And that's everything, as we're learning. Like, it was proven. It's not even, if people are questioning that, they just don't understand the way in which those softwares that really win actually changed. It doesn't mean that you came up with any brand new tech. You were like, we were at Technion using this, and we were at Cornell Tech using this, but it's its application to the real world. And the gap between real estate as a laggard and technology, these are the things that bridge it, because anyone can look at a screen, turn it and say, oh, that unit, and that's the unit, and you're using your fingers and hands, which is how we interact with iPads and with our smartphones. And now it's like, yeah, it's the same thing. Like, that's how you use it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You can send this unit to this person like this.
Yeah. So let me ask you now. Let's ask some questions about, so you're in pre-seed? Are you in seed? Where do you stand?
We are in pre-seed. We are about to launch, as I said. We have more than 1,000 units in the pipeline waiting to start this process in several buildings with real estate companies that we managed to interest. And they are actually eagerly waiting to see what we come up with and start playing with it. And we are exactly like them, eagerly waiting to start playing with it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let me ask you, we like to go into some rapid fire questions.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I hope I can handle it. I'm not sure.
You can handle it. I promise you. This is not your dissertation. Okay. All right. Where do you hope to see prop tech in the next 5 years?
Okay, I want to see, that's a good question. I want to see, like, it's like you were planning this. I want to see all the prop tech industry inside my digital twin.
Mm.
That's the main goal. Like, you can see everything through that.
Right. Can I tell you, prop tech got rocked last year, right? Mm-hmm. Investment down, many people just got hurt. So the fact that you're still pushing forward with something that works, I think is like optimistic, and the truth that even though it got rocked from an investment perspective, we know the wave is coming and you have to pay attention, you know?
Yeah.
All right, next, AI, friend or foe?
Of course, friend.
Why do you say that?
First of all, personally, it makes my life so much easier as a non-English speaker. But of course, for all workflows and all, because we are building a decision-making assistant tool, the AI feature in it could be unbelievably valuable, because it can, like, we are collecting the data, we are storing it in a specific way, and now the AI can run inside it and point the important things.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, you can ask it, like, do we need to start this construction at this date to hit this date? And it's like, what, from historical data, the answer is you should have started already, right? And you don't have to now think, oh, maybe I can do it faster. It's like, no, you can't. You've done it 100 times. You're never fast enough. So hurry up, right? Yeah. I agree. What's one feature that you'd like to add to Urban Mix? You said APIs to everyone else's, but what's a feature right now that's coming that you're excited about?
Oh, wow. Well, the analytics is something that I'm looking forward to start working on.
Which is what? Business intelligence from the information that you get to be able to give the owner, like, this is what you should do?
Yeah, we are working on, like, the workflow part right now, and we want to start with that because that's the basic.
Yep.
But once you have workflows running and documented, you can start create analytics and predictions. And that's,
I mean, that'd be huge, predictive analytics, right? Know when your roof needs to be done. And I know people do pieces of this, but in one location with everything, right? And I see it eventually. You're like, upload the drawings and we know how long you've had the black iron, you know, vertical in this stack. You better take a look at it because historically these things fit. You know, that would be incredible, right? You would know about your building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you could describe Urban Mix in three words, what would it be?
Digital twin for real estate.
Digital twin for real estate. Five, failed.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm kidding. That's great. All right. So what does 2024 look like for the architectural industry?
Wow. I've been remote from the architectural industry for a while, but I hope it involves building more housing.
Can I tell you what I think?
Yeah.
I think that their billing is like so far down, and it's going to take another year, year and a half, till you're going to see them come around. Like, they're going to get hurt right now. They're the tip of the spear. Well, maybe not now. Now they know that billing is down. We're now hearing from subcontractors that their billing is down, which means, and they only look 3 months out, right? Architects are looking much further out.
Right.
But I bet you it's just down. And that's New York, and that's where you and I are, and that's where we live. So,
and architects are just the tool. That's why I moved away from architecture, but they get work done for other people.
Correct.
Right? So if there's nothing in the market, nothing in the real estate market, definitely architects are down.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you coming on. I think that Urban Mix is super exciting, and that, you know, coming from people with your type of background and intelligence, it's like, these are the people who are thinking about the problem and then coming up with an actual solution, and people should pay attention. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
All right, cool. In conclusion, people, Real Tech Talk episode 43. I think that there's two things that are super relevant to what we just stated. If, when investing into any type of tech company, it's about investing into the founders. Here is a founder who is taking the tip of the iceberg of where technology is, making that application to the real world in a way in which has the variability that we know is so important. Urban Mix is attacking something that I think is just the beginning. Right now, there's a workflow processes. Cool. But all of that information that's uploaded, if you actually get drawings and you create a true digital twin of your building, what owner, wherever they are in the universe, wouldn't want to know what's happening at their site? And that variability is automated, meaning you don't need to plug it in, right? The biggest thing is the data entry. It's not necessary anymore. We better pay attention, because you believe and you bet on founders, and you believe and you bet on the latest technology, and the user experience is the future. I don't know, Urban Mix sounds pretty fresh to me. What do you guys think?